Welcome to the MEP podcast, where I'll be exploring the intersection of sport and spirituality through a variety of practices that ultimately invite us to learn, grow, and connect. I believe that through movement and mindfulness, we can create an awareness within that will allow us to integrate as individuals and connect more deeply to our mind, body, and spirit, together navigating a way to the way. This episode is brought to you by Open, a mindfulness app combining the power of breathwork, meditation, sound, and movement to strengthen your mind-body connection. For me, meditation and breathwork have become absolutely foundational to any sense of well-being, whether I'm in a good place or struggling with anxiety or the stress of life. Leaning into meditation and breathwork always help me feel more embodied, more peaceful, and more grounded. They help with clarity, creativity, and any sort of performance goals that I have with sports as well. You can use the code RYANWILMS, all together, all caps, for a free 30-day trial of the Open app. I highly recommend you jump into it. It's beautifully designed, and there's an incredible variety of classes covering the breath, mind, sound, and movement. Welcome back to the MEP podcast. Happy New Year. And probably not necessary, but apologizing for the lack of regularity in publishing new episodes. It's been a super busy last few months, personally, work-wise, travel-wise, holidays-wise. But that said, you know, there's always time to do what you want to make a priority. And the podcast just ended up slipping as a priority recently. And actually, in the end of last year, I was kind of wavering and putting it on hiatus. And I guess that sort of happened for the last month by accident. And in that time, I've gotten in touch with some great guests that I'm super excited about. Been in touch with some brands about partnering on bringing more content through. And it looks like the hiatus is going on hiatus. And I'm super energized again about diving back in and some of these upcoming guests and just feeling more inspired to reach out to people that I really want to have on and have some deep conversations with and continue to share those, because it is something that I truly enjoy doing and sharing. And for those of you still listening, feel like there's good value there, and people seem to enjoy it and get something out of it. So that's a good enough reason for me to keep doing it. So yeah, I'm excited to dive back in this year, and when I can catch my breath a little bit more, get a little bit more organized and find a bit more of a regular cadence as well, which I know helps in terms of podcast growth and, you know, people just having something to look forward to and expect. But that might not happen just yet, although, so there's going to be some, you know, sporadic episodes. I also have been really meaning to do a solo episode for the last couple months and just kept putting it off and not carving out the time. And I think there's a variety of factors in that. One of them is, you know, a lot of these solo episodes, I share a lot about my sort of own inner process and what's been unfolding there and some of the different modalities that I've been leaning into, different tools or maybe types of meditation or breathing, teachers I found, things like that. And it's just been, it's been quite challenging, and also just like unfolding rather quickly, it feels like. So it's, you know, 1 week I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit down and this is what I want to talk about and share. And then by the time it's a week later, it's something quite different or another layer deeper into that. And then I'm like, okay, well, now what am I sharing? And it's very easy to sort of put it off if I don't have a regular schedule for myself of just sharing exactly where I'm at and what seems sort of top of mind or what I've recently feeling connected with and things like that. So, yeah, I really need to be accountable to that. I would love to do one monthly or bi-monthly at the very least. So I'm saying that out loud, putting it on wax, I guess, and so try and stay accountable to that. But here I am. This is the first solo episode of 2023, which seems pretty crazy. But here we are, almost halfway through the month already. It's been a busy start to the year. I feel grateful that there's been some good work opportunities. And also what's very present for me at the moment is my first running group that I've properly coached over the last 10 weeks. We are all running a half marathon tomorrow in Los Angeles. So yeah, at some point last year, I was working on a project consulting for some Nike guided runs, and also feeling like, wow, I want to do something like this. You know, I feel like I could offer something in this space, with sort of a mindful, more, I don't know, Taoist approach to running, which is, you know, kind of a big pillar of MEP and this brand, and this idea of Wu Wei and non-doing and being more tuned and harmonized with the pace of nature, and allowing, while also, you know, setting goals and moving in a direction and just doing that more intentionally, really. So I was like, well, if I want to do that with a brand like Nike or somebody, then, you know, I better just do it on my own. So I was excited to announce that, and we've had 12 people over the last 10 weeks, and pretty much everyone is set and ready for the race tomorrow. And it's been an interesting challenge. There's a variety of skill levels and fitness levels, but a strong commitment and connection over the group. I can see people forming deeper friendships that maybe knew each other, or new friendships from people that didn't know each other. And it's just been a really awesome experience. I've definitely gotten to know some cool people and shared some fun workouts and pushed each other. And I'm really grateful that I put myself out there and did it. And feels like a really fulfilling experience. So yeah, we're going to express our training through the race tomorrow. And, you know, that's been an interesting piece for me as well, as setting a goal there and, you know, being where I'm at with training, with having a little 5-month-old boy, with the way work is, traveling over the holidays, and just, you know, not being in the, at the level of fitness that I would like to be at, and making peace with that and going into the race tomorrow, just trying to enjoy it as much as possible, knowing the last quarter of it will get challenging, and trusting my body knows how to run, my lungs know how to breathe, my heart knows how to pump the blood. So, you know, how can my mind react to how things are going, whether good or bad, knowing that there is no good or bad, you know, that these polarities are just made up in the mind as well. And really all there is what is. It's a holistic experience that is, you know, a blessing to get to experience, and trying to stay with that as much as possible. So I'm excited. I'm also somewhat excited to finish it off, and that's going to be the last race I have scheduled of any sort, and that's going to be an intentional break from any race or really structured training for the next little while, which I'll share more on in a moment. But yeah, it's been good. So what have I really been digging into? I guess I'll just dive into this sort of core wound piece that really is sort of at the epicenter of any issues I've had, as I'm seeing now. And that's just this deep belief of not being good enough, or being not good enough, which, as I, you know, listen to people like Gabor Mate and Richard Schwartz and Bessel van der Kolk, and just, you know, all of the sort of foremost experts in this field, somebody I've come to be learning from a lot lately, Miranda McPherson, you know, this is a wound that is pretty much in 99% of people. And I totally understand, you know, how that can be there from, you know, all the events and ways we internalize things, to all the traumas that we experience and then internalize and try and make sense of, whether that's trauma with a big T or trauma with a small T, as some people sort of classify it. And yeah, for me, this idea of feeling like I'm not good enough, was something that was extremely challenging to confront. The therapist that I've been working with for the last year and a half, or maybe almost 2 years even, very gently started to note that that could be something that I am feeling or experiencing quite a while ago. And I just could not accept that unconsciously. I was like, no, I'm afraid of not being good enough, or like dancing around it in all these different ways. And then finally, it was just a couple months ago where it was like the fog parted and the billboard that's been right in front of me all this time just was like, not good enough, not enough. And I was like kind of taken aback by some degree, I guess, where I was like, oh, damn. There it is. So clear. And I think I have a similar experience with these sort of moments of clarity where it's there's part of me that's like, it feels a weight off almost because there's awareness around this now. There's an acceptance of the reality of that, which means now I can tend to it or do something about it. But also, especially with this one, there was sort of a wave, maybe multiple waves of sadness and anger and, just different emotions as like the acceptance of that and what the ramifications of that meant. That this belief is so deep and so old that the reality, as it sunk in, was like, wow, if that's what I think or believe, have believed unconsciously, and that goes back to as long as I can remember, if not further, then everything in my life has been perceived and filtered through these kind of cracked glasses of this belief of not being good enough. Everything I've done has been to try to compensate for that and create conditions for being good enough. Everything that's been perceived from the outside world has been filtered to some degree through that not good enough belief and is so distorted by that. And recently, in a conversation, there was also a acceptance of like, well, maybe not everything, we're not always 100% in our truest, highest, clearest self, and 100 or 100% in our shadow, unconscious, and distorted self either. So, the reality is, at times, I have been able to act and perceive clearly without the distortion, but I would say the majority of my experience has been through this distorted lens with a crack or maybe a smudge or probably both on it. I would say, especially in the last sort of 6, 7 years. Because before that, I was, completely unaware of this sort of deep belief, but I was still acting this way. I was working hard to create conditions to feel like I was good enough. And for most of my life, it worked actually. Like the conditions were met and I felt safe enough, good enough. I felt stressed at times and, life is full of challenges and those challenges were challenging. But for the most part, there was a sense of I felt safe enough, I felt good enough because A, B, and C were met and that was great. And then one day, that all sort of fractured, like again, like breaking glass, almost like a break in the windshield, and it just sort of the cracks spread and spread and spread and eventually just crumbled. And these last years now, it's been very interesting because that sort of false sense of safety, false sense of good enough with the, conditional good enough, wasn't there anymore. And yet I kept trying to recreate the same conditions that, built that facade over time as well. But it doesn't work. It didn't work anymore. I couldn't create those conditions. I couldn't. And if I did, they didn't work. They didn't create the same sort of safety or sense of unconditional love that they once did. And so, yeah, it's been a little bit eye-opening and hard to reckon with this realization. When I left Vancouver in 2015, start of 2016, and moved to New York and closed Inventory Magazine and started doing more freelance work and bigger projects, it was like, okay, this is the start of a new chapter. And then after 2 years in New York, realizing I just was on the same trajectory I had been on before I left, and now I was gonna leave New York and leave a lot of this work behind and really look under the hood and what's going on emotionally, physically, energetically, spiritually. It's like, okay, this is the new chapter. I just thought that previous one was a new chapter, but this is the actual start of a new chapter. And then I just sort of was, reflecting all this, and I was like, oh, actually, all the same mechanisms of my ego and mind that worked so hard to build this career in fashion and consulting and be fit and look a certain way and have cool clothes and furniture and rare art books and, all of those things. I was using that same sort of ego mind to try and create these conditions to be good enough, but in the spiritual path. And that showed up as, like, going to intensive ayahuasca ceremonies or silent meditation retreats or other sort of experiential things, and really just approaching this path with the same sort of vigorous doing, figuring out an attempt to create conditions through new mediums to be good enough. And so now I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't really a new chapter. It was just a different topic. And I was going about it the same way. And, many times over these last years, I have been able to tap into that higher sense of self through a lot of meditation practice, a lot of breath work, a lot of these plant medicine ceremonies, especially, as gateways to connect with that part of myself and who I really am. But a lot of it was always driven by the more smaller self, ego mind of, like, that part of me could surrender for 8 hours or 10 hours or 4 days. But then when I came back to life, it was like, okay, we're just using those times to try and fix the same problem we've been trying to fix by buying expensive fashion or shoes or, having to have these things. So that was, like, challenging as well, because on one hand, it's like, well, I had to have this experience and shift in that way and just approach it with the same mindset to do a lot of honest, like, genuine work, and shed a lot of layers and learn a lot. But at the same time, I almost have dug myself a deeper hole because I've been doing that all with the same sort of ego protective sense of self that believes I'm not good enough. And if I drink ayahuasca 20 times, maybe I'll be good enough. No, I need to do it 30 times. No, maybe I need to sit with DMT 5 times, or whatever the thing is. The next thing is going to make me good enough. And it was just the same moving of the goalposts, the same state of conditional craving or attachment, expectations, all of these things. So, yeah, it's been challenging to sort of realize that and accept that reality. And it's been even more challenging to try and go about living from a totally different place, of surrender, of letting go, of releasing, listening. It's really challenging. And, some people will say, just do it, just think you're good enough. And it's like, well, I can stare into the mirror every day and say, hey, Ryan, you're good enough. I love you no matter what you do. And, there can be some marginal gains there, but it really has to be a deeply felt and embodied experience. And those types of affirmations either take a long time to really sink in and have that impact, or they just don't work because the, embodied self, the unconscious, just won't shift with something that subtle. And so, in that sense, the idea of surrender and letting go, which is something you can't do, it just has to happen. You can sort of facilitate and nurture some conditions that can allow for that to happen, but it's not something that you can do. And so it's really challenging to even articulate, I guess. And that's why it's, a lot of the, like if you read the Tao Te Ching or different translations or Alan Watts, The Water Course Way, there's a lot of like beautiful poetic language around it. And it's the only way that you can sort of talk about it because it's just something so non-linear, it's so beyond language. It can only be a felt experience, and the mind truly has to step aside and allow for that experience to happen. So, I like to think that there's small steps deeper out into that. I imagine it is like a river that you sort of go into and just wading out more and more into the river until eventually you just allow the water to take the weight of your body and trust that you will be held and that the flow of life will take you where you need to go. But yeah, this part of my mind and ego that sort of hijacked the spiritual path and many aspects of my life, really finds that terrifying and as scary as death, essentially. And while, like I mentioned, it's able to allow temporary surrender or temporary letting go, whether that's through meditation practice sometimes or through some of these weekend retreats or plant medicine ceremonies, there it can allow for that, but by a means of getting its needs met, of essentially protecting me, being good enough. And ultimately, anything that's done with that sort of motivation is never going to be helpful or sustainable in terms of the bigger picture of finding inner peace and harmony and truly being as I am and accepting myself fully. So, yeah, this kind of remedy for not feeling good enough isn't to do something to be good enough. It's actually just to accept myself as I am right now. And that sounds lovely and would be great, but there's a part of my mind that has become very sharp over 37 years to some benefit in different parts of my life. But in this aspect, it's too smart for its own good. And it's really challenging to quiet that and sort of release the clenched fist of that part of my mind that thinks that means giving up. And if I give up, then, only bad things can happen from that sort of state. So this balance of being with that part and reassuring him and growing a trust with myself, and being patient as well, has been really quite challenging and interesting. And I really felt lost, I guess, in this place. I've been listening to a lot of Ram Dass and Alan Watts, and another teacher, Damo Mitchell, has some great like meditation, Qigong practices that really help with this as well. And I really think his teachings and Nigong program are really beautiful, and I would love to go deep into them, but I'm stuck in the like very beginner phases of allowing the mind to release and be in the body, allow the body to return to its natural state of being and flowing and harmony. And until I can do that, I can't really proceed. But then, coincidentally, I feel like the Sounds True podcast has just offered me the right teacher at the right time many times over the last couple of years. And they recently published a podcast with Miranda McPherson, who I had never heard of, but she has a book called The Grace of Being, or The Way of Grace. I'm not really sure actually now, but you get the idea. And it talks about ego relaxation, and she shares her story, and a lot of it resonates with myself, and having this experience of truly surrendering and letting go, and what came through, and how that sort of changed her life and began a new unfolding. And the book is really amazing. Her meditations are really beautiful, and it's kind of like a modernized Taoist philosophy to many ways, I think, but communicated in a way that's really relatable, really soft. It's a very feminine approach to being and stepping out of the doing and all the elements that are involved in that. And I just think it's really amazing, and I'm trying to get her on the podcast. I really hope it works out. I would love to connect with her and ask her some questions, but I've been going through this book and re-going through it and listening to her meditations, and I can't recommend it enough. If this is a journey that resonates with you, because this kind of masculine doing has just kind of come to a dead end for me. And I realized, there's benefits to it, and it's helped me along the way. But at this point, it cannot help me go any further. And so, just trying to be aware of that and, put the hammer down, not in terms of stepping on the gas, but as in not looking for nails all the time and just being totally accepting of what is, and navigating this space of being and letting go, which at times I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing this, feeling lost and confused actually in the last few weeks even. So having her book and her teachings is something to remind me of, like, this is part of the process. Just stay patient, stay with it, trust, like, it's gonna, not even it's going to happen, it's just, it's happening. And I'm in it. And right now, things are okay. I'm still having a hard time articulating a lot of it. But Miranda McPherson. You can listen to her on Sounds True if that resonates. She's got stuff on YouTube. But her book is really, really amazing. I highly recommend it. And so, this is very much of my theme for this year is allowing, non-doing, non-forcing, non-contriving, internally and externally, and just going with the flow and trusting. And in some aspects of my life, I'm like, oh yeah, that is totally working. But inside my body, inside my mind is where the biggest struggle is, and I can't necessarily escape that daily. So, I feel it a lot, and it's quite uncomfortable a lot of the time. So I do look forward to whenever and however the sense of peace and grace start to come through and allow me more reprieve from my own glass prison of shame and not good enough, which I know are not true, but it's cultivating that from an embodied sense rather than a mind-led logical sense, which is really just a surface layer. So one of the nails that I've tried to smash with a hammer in the last couple of years is triathlon. And I raced a Ironman 70.3 in early December in Indian Wells, and that was challenging because it's challenging. I mean, swimming 1.2 miles, riding a bike 56 miles, and then running a half marathon is just challenging for any human being, I think. So on top of that, doing it with a 3 to 4 month old in a house with no kitchen, or, missing key components of what a house usually has, was just super hard. And I don't want to say I regret it, but it was hard on the relationship as well. just to navigate. And but at the same time, I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot. I let go of a lot and really went into the race without any sort of intense attachment to any times or anything like that. And I really just wanted to enjoy the experience. A couple races leading up to it, I had had pretty poor experience. I don't know what I'm trying to like choose my words mindfully, but I had bad experiences in the water. I got panicky. I had a hard time breathing. You know, outside of just not being a great swimmer and not being very swim fit, being the hardest thing to really get into the schedule. I was just like stressing about the swim way too much. And so a huge part of the experience was just to be at peace with the swim and try and enjoy it. And knowing like, well, I can swim for, 40 plus minutes nonstop. Like I can do it. And so a lot of what I did leading up to it was this CO2 tolerance breath work that I there's a 10-minute class on the Open app, and I found that helped massively, just with the breathing, keeping calm, that side of it. Doing some cold water exposure at home, cold showers and whatnot, because the water was 57 degrees in Indian Wells for the swim as well. So just getting ready for that. And yeah, luckily, I didn't crush it on the performance side, but the experience itself was pretty enjoyable, for at least three quarters of it, I would say. I wasn't sad to get out of the water, but it was a beautiful location, and the bike was actually really beautiful as well, super enjoyable. Flat, but really challenging still. Just to keep in aero position that whole time, it still took me over 2.5 hours. And I don't think I did a ride over 1 hour and 20 minutes in my training leading up. So, if anyone does any sort of training, you can tell that's not exactly ideal. But it's just what I was able to do. So, the reality of, doing this race, finishing it in 5 hours and 21 minutes, given the amount of training I had done, I was actually pretty good, for the most part. And just reflecting on the year being the second half Ironman I had done amongst probably five or six races overall, having only gotten into triathlon really less than 2 years ago, so I was pretty proud of myself looking back at it. The last third of the run is really when it gets challenging. Even on the last quarter of the bike was like, there was a moment I remember being out there and it was like, okay, I've been enjoying this now, but why am I doing this? Why, who am I? What am I doing out here? What am I looking for? And again, that sort of comes up on the run and just letting go of any attachment to times or paces. And also being like really connecting almost into like a moving meditation of like, what is going on here? What am I looking for? And ultimately, it was very simple and clear, like doing this Ironman triathlon pursuit was just another condition to be good enough, that I thought I had to do. I thought if I did it, my body would transform and become what I wanted it to be and feel and look like. Which it hasn't. And I thought if I could perform at a certain level, there would be a certain amount of, respect or, congratulations or I don't know, something, which, people were supportive and that was nice, but definitely it didn't change my world in any way externally. There's definitely some self-belief and just a lot of, there were a lot of positives in the journey of doing this, but ultimately, the unconscious expectation and goal of being good enough by accomplishing this was not met. And, by the end of the race and within the day or two after that, I was like, wow, that was actually beautiful. It was an awesome experience. My partner Natalie and our son Jacaranda were there, and halfway through the run, I saw them and I ran over and gave them both a kiss, and that will probably be like, one of the highlights that I'll remember from doing that race. And yeah, I'm really happy I did it, and had this clarity come through on it as well, and it was just an actually beautiful course. Like, if anyone's thinking of doing a half Ironman, I recommend this course for sure. And that's not to say I won't be back, but it was very clear, like, okay, to be who I am, to surrender and let go, to accept myself as I am, like, I don't need Ironman or triathlon anymore. And I can't use this as a tool to try and be conditionally good enough anymore either. So the only option really is to just put it down, put it aside. And yeah, that sort of ties into the half marathon piece that I shared earlier, is after this weekend, it's going to be time to just put down all racing basically. And I shared with Natalie one night kind of what I've been going through, and in the end, she, I forget what led to it, but she asked some question about, like, what do I really enjoy, and having, what does having fun and joy and play, look like? And I do enjoy running and riding bikes, but it's so easy to be co-opted by, this drive to be good enough. And what that looks like to me is consuming too much content about it, too much information, looking at data, looking at paces and workout plans, and wearing a blood glucose monitor and a heart rate monitor, and all of these things that don't actually really matter to, like, a person at my level. And so, with all of that and reflecting, I was like, okay, yes, it's, let's put these things down. Let's put down this hammer. And this is certainly an area that I need to do that with. And so, yeah, I'm hoping to get a mountain bike in the next month or two and get back on my road bike and some group rides and just riding in the canyons, with no outcome, basically. I love moving my body. I love exercising. It feels great. But not doing it to transform my body in a certain way, not doing it for a certain time or wattage on the power meter or pace on the watch or any of these things, just doing it with no outcome, for connection, to play, to move my body, to sweat, to explore. So that's why I'm thinking, well, when Natalie kind of asked me this question, I was like, skiing, that's the thing. I really feel like skiing is like, you're just in it. It's just like you're so present. It's just nature, you moving, flowing. And well, it's not super convenient or affordable. I was like, well, what's the, other version of that on the land? I was like, well, mountain biking for sure. And when I was a teenager, I loved mountain biking and really got into it, just like recreationally, but just enjoyed it a lot. And so I was like, yeah, that's play when it comes to this. So hopefully going to dive into that and start exploring some trails and maybe meet some new friends or connect with old ones and in that space, which I do feel super excited about. I'm also going to make an effort to start playing some music and instruments, again with no outcome, and just, yeah, really lean into allowing myself to express who I am, with no outcome, with no need to necessarily share, and without watching a million YouTube videos on how to do it and what's the best so and so add on, and finding ways to spend money and buy extra gear. Just do the one thing, enjoy it, be present, find that kind of flow state more often, which I think just inevitably allows the mind to be more quiet. I think when we have these things, especially coming through as a younger person, the more you have that stuff, it's just easier to be in that space. But as we get older, the ego gains more control and sort of crystallizes deeper into ourselves. So yeah, it's just going to be like this sort of soft easing, and I think that's going to help a lot too. And having a little baby also helps with the play. He's just like so joyful and smiley and growing and changing, and that's a huge benefit and highlight of life as well. Seeing that and being a part of it and getting to have that experience. So, no more racing, no more triathlon. Leaning into play, hopefully getting off road and enjoying some cycling, but not with any sort of outcome or training plan as much. And yeah, it feels good. It feels good to go down that route. A big part of what I've shared as well is this kind of doing motivation that when things start to feel uncomfortable, when there's a sense of more and more surrender, that ego mind is like, doesn't like it, and it wants to reach for the familiar things. And I have found over the last year or two, like more and more of those things just don't work. And I stop reaching for, I never smoked a ton of weed, but I did enjoy that. And now I just never do. I never drank a lot, but I did. And now I just never do. I always had to eat dessert or popcorn for a few years. And now I just rarely do and don't feel that urge and don't even think about it, actually, most nights. And now I just feel like all of these kind of external pieces that have been tools to try to conditionally feel okay, either by soothing or escaping or by accomplishing and doing, just keep falling away, falling away. They just don't work, and there's clarity around that they don't work. And I feel like that's where this sort of triathlon piece fits in. And now, hopefully, with this awareness, I will also be able to identify, okay, why am I doing this or why am I not doing this? And being having more awareness around the intention and expectations around whatever activity it is. So yeah, it's been good, and one of those things has been psychedelics as well. And so I've really kind of had this tough moment time of like grappling with, oh, this is so hard. I need to like go do DMT again, or I need to go sit with something again, And just like feeling that urge come up. It's like, I'm not like reaching for the popcorn, but there's a part of me that's like, when things get tough, I know there's a potential for those psychedelics to help me break through. And that's been great at times. And it has worked well, and it's helped me learn and heal and grow and release and all many good things. But ultimately, it hasn't helped me accept where I am right now as I am. And so feeling that urge to do something about how I am rather than accept it has been interesting. And just starting to question that, because that's not all the psychedelics do, right? They help to reframe, they help to remind me or others of what's possible, of who we are. And they can bring true, true deep clarity to how we're oriented or where we need to make shifts or adjustments. And these things are totally true and totally useful and could be useful to me like right now, today, let's just say. If I am to work with one of these sacred medicines in terms of, okay, I'm not going in this with a covert expectation that it's going to heal me and I'm going to come out the other side good enough and changed in a way that I want and feel attached to, but rather, oh yeah, maybe I can just be reminded of who I am and what my potential is, and that I am part of this greater thing that's been unfolding for billions of years. And that context can help bring a lot of peace. But the medicine itself isn't going to cure something. And so, yeah, it's been this really interesting sort of reorganizing as I've taken a break and felt that urge to reach for that tool, but realizing the way I want to use it isn't going to help me. Or the way I have used it isn't really going to help me anymore. But there is a way I could use it that could be helpful in this new orientation. But I'm still kind of working through that. So I think it's really interesting because, yeah, I think they're beautiful experiences that I'm so grateful for and I also look forward to. But yeah, really sort of, I guess, sifting through the motivation and relationship there has been a really important period with that as well, to sort of, yeah, just reorganize my thoughts and and relationship basically as to why I would want to do that and how it will affect me and what my expectation is versus what my intention is. Because I think, you know, it's been either subtly conscious or somewhat unconscious that there's been an expectation that underlies a lot of my more genuine or honorable intentions. And as long as that's there, it's going to be tough, and there's going to be disappointment because there's attachment and expectation, and you know, that will just reaffirm the not good enough. Well, I'm not even good enough to heal from this experience with this beautiful medicine, you know, even though it brings all this other beautiful insights. So, yeah, I think there's a lot in those two pieces. Whereas triathlon, I feel like that doesn't have the necessary upsides right now that I need, whereas the psychedelics and that sort of space, it still has all of those beautiful upsides. It's just how I'm orientated to working with that medium and that tool that is more the issue, rather than the tool itself. So, yeah, that's been interesting. Yeah, a big part of this too, I guess, like I've talked a lot about the ego and the mind, and I think ultimately that is sort of what corrupts our true nature. And you know, that puts it in a bad light. You know, good and bad being funny things to even use, I guess. It just puts it in a light. Because, yeah, you know, we also need to work with the body, I think. You know, trauma is an interesting piece to explore, and I think Gabor Mate's new book and a lot of the stuff he shared on podcasts as he's been promoting it is incredibly insightful and accurate and normalizing as well to some degree that we all have experienced these things, whether it's getting fired from a job or a breakup or losing a pet, or we're in a, you know, there's a lot more severe, more classic things like going to war or rape, sexual abuse, you know, racial abuse, like many things like this. But then there's a lot of like smaller things as well that we just tend to normalize and not look at as being really intense experiences. And the problem isn't the experience itself. The problem is how we internalize it, how we emotionally react to it and try to compensate for it and make sense of it. And usually if it's a traumatic experience, we can't really make cohesive sense of it. There isn't a storyline that really makes sense and feels okay. Likely we didn't have somebody that could help us through that experience in a way that made it feel okay as well. And for me, I've just in the last couple of days had a lot of clarity on a specific event that I severely internalized and felt like I had no support, no acknowledgement on. And, you know, it was like over a couple of months of just like the most violent physical anxiety I could ever imagine or remember. And it's funny because I pretty much had not been able to see this experience through this lens until the last few days. And it was a dream that brought it up. And then I pulled at that thread and I was like, holy, this is in my body. This is in my body. And it's in my body because of how my mind reacted to the event. But now I can work with the body directly and the mind to sort of help hopefully release this. And already that process has begun just by bringing awareness to it in a couple of small steps, which, you know, on one hand, like I shared earlier, it's like, okay, well, now I know about this, so I can, you know, do something about it or allow it. And that's good. But even the first steps or two into this releasing, re-feeling, knowing that I'm okay today, in a supported, held space, has been really uncomfortable. And, nausea-inducing, we'll say. And you know, I think there's many ways to release trauma from the body. And I'm kind of diving back into Bessel van der Kolk and some other people's work around that, and looking at a lot of fascial release work to do that. You know, psychedelics can be a really powerful way of doing that as well, but other body work. So yeah, I feel like there is this kind of two-pronged approach of accepting who I am, allowing that part of my mind to let go, and then also releasing this actual traumatic energy that's being held inside my actual body. And underneath that, I have this clear sense of this just very pure white light being that is kind of just being pinned down and held under a heavy blanket, almost, is kind of the visual I have. And so while I don't want to lie to myself, like, I want to free that part of myself, I want to allow that to be expressed, I also need to accept who I am and where I am now. And so, you know, this balance between, okay, here's the path before me and I need to take these steps patiently and consistently and compassionately, but also not be attached to where the path is going, I think is it's just challenging to sort of, okay, this is what I would like, this is where I'm orienting myself, and now I'm going to not be attached to how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen, and let that unfold due to, you know, grace and the energy of love that animates everything, and you know, pray for that to come and help me, and know that I can't figure it out or do it from the sort of state of consciousness that I am at currently, that it needs to come from somewhere greater, and I need to allow that to come as well. So it's quite a magical, deep unfolding of this multi-dimensional onion. And yeah, I'm excited about it, but also finding it really quite challenging. Yeah, I feel like through my journey and process, I've become hyper attuned to my energy and my physical body, while thinking I was also attuning to my emotional body. But this sort of blanket that's been protecting me while also blocking me and cutting me off from myself is, you know, pinning down my emotional capacity, and really feeling like, wow, I'm actually pretty quite cut off from that part of myself. And part of, you know, that's been to keep myself safe and to be okay. And, you know, that has served some purpose, but no longer does it work for me. And even at that, you know, the prospect of fully feeling emotions, you know, all the time also feels scary, because last time I did that, it wasn't safe. And, I guess there's been many examples of when I have done that, it doesn't go well, even though there's probably examples of when I do that, it does go well too. The way the mind attaches to the ones that didn't go well feels like that's the majority of them. And that is part of the problem with our perception through these cracked lenses. And rather than trying to fix the lenses, we just need to take the glasses off, put them down, and remember, oh yeah, I can see clearly without them. So yeah, I imagine I'll be sharing this on the upcoming solo episodes and how things go and what I learned there. You know, a couple of times I've sort of paused in my word choices in this episode, and yeah, I was listening to Matthias De Stefano recently in a couple of different podcasts, and he's a very interesting character, and I really actually enjoy his perspectives and sense of humor and the sort of lightness that he brings. But he was talking about this ideas of duality and polarity, and they're basically just human invented things. We talk about masculine and feminine, dark and light, good and bad, all of these things. And there is actually no polarity. There's positive and negative, he was saying, is the only one where it's actually like energy and those sort of electrical frequencies of the universe. But beyond that, all the other polarities are just totally made up. You reference like the top or the bottom of a stick, and like we use this sort of language for almost everything. But the reality is it's just a stick. There's no top or bottom. The idea that we have an arm and a leg, it's like we just have this whole body. And it was interesting to sort of take that perspective, because I think as I've been looking at some of these traumatic experiences, and it's like, oh, that was a bad emotional feeling. It's like, well, maybe it wasn't a bad emotional feeling. It might not have been pleasant, but it was just a feeling. And just remembering, like, good or bad is only a perspective, really. And so, I guess that's why, some people that are really struggling to feel will do such extreme things as like cut themselves or burn themselves or things like that, where it's like they just want to feel anything. And so I think remembering, like, wow, whatever we get to feel is a blessing. And trying to honor that feeling just as an experience that isn't good or bad, is something I'm trying to shift my orientation and judgment from, which I think is really valuable, but it's not easy when we've taught been taught, that everything is up and down, good and bad, dark and light, all of these sorts of things. So, everything is one. You can't separate what is one. As I remember thinking to myself a few years ago, and it's like we try to separate everything in our culture in different ways with different labels and different language, and all of these things are just extremely limiting our capacity to have the holistic experience. And so the more we can get back to the entirety and our capacity to experience the experience itself wholly without these judgments or labels, the better it is. And I think that's, what's something really beautiful about psychedelics is, especially something like DMT, where it can be, you can go so far into that experience of no polarities and non-duality that it just is what it is, and it's never good or bad. It's just everything, and it's amazing, and it's just basically, ineffable, indescribable. Just remembering, like, oh yeah, words and language, especially English, is just like massively limited. And anytime we label and judge anything, we're massively doing a disservice to whatever that thing is, whether it's a stick with a top and a bottom, or a person, or a whole group of people, or an experience we've had. Whew. Almost at an hour here. I have no idea if this has been boring or not, but I'm glad I'm doing it. So yeah, just sharing a couple other small things to kind of wrap it up here. I think I will probably do one of these solo episodes specifically on my journey as a new father, as a new parent. It's been 5 months now, and I think I will consult with my partner, and then, I would love to do an episode with her and talk about it all, but we'll see. It might just be me, but that's going to be coming up for sure, because it's been absolutely life-changing in so many ways, and will continue to be, I'm sure. The other thing I wanted to mention, now that we are into 2023, is that there are two MEP retreats already scheduled for this year, which I am super excited about. So we are returning to Marin, California at the end of June. I think it's June 22nd, for 4 days and 3 nights in this beautiful property and house epic road cycling. It's going to be great. We're going to do some deep breath work, meditate, really connect. It was an awesome experience last year, so I'm really looking forward to going back again this June. So you can find information on the website about that. I'm hopefully going to be confirming some brand partners for that experience as well soon. The goal will be to have 10 people. So there's not a ton of spots, but I want to keep it intimate so everyone has lots of space, and we don't have to wrangle too many people on the roads all over Marin as well. So if you're interested in that, check out some of the content from last year's. It was awesome. Happy to answer questions, but it's going to be really beautiful. Great food, beautiful location, awesome house, epic cycling, fun times, definitely at least some free gear as well. The other one is going to be in British Columbia, up in Canada, on Bowen Island, September 20th. This one is for 4 nights, so it'll be 4 full days, pretty much 4 nights. And it's going to be a running retreat. So we're going to be doing some trail running, tiny bit of road, but mostly trail. And we're going to have time for jumping in the ocean, doing some other outdoor activities. And this one is at a property on Bowen Island called Nectar, which is super well set up. It's got a bunch of little A-frame cabins, bigger cabins, outdoor hot tub, outdoor showers, yoga studio. So we're going to be moving, breathing, meditating, running. It's going to be awesome. And that's on Bowen Island, which is just outside Vancouver, September 20th. This one is going to have a capacity of 14 people. So yeah, check these out. Mark it on your calendar if you're interested. I'm going to start marketing it properly in the coming weeks. Again, I'm going to have brand partners for both of these, so you're going to be getting some gear, some other products, and more importantly, you're just going to get a great experience. I don't know what the experience will be exactly because everyone has a different experience, but I can promise it will be interesting, exciting, engaging, connecting, based on the last ones that I've done. So, yeah, please check these out. Cycling in Marin, running on Bowen Island. It's going to be awesome. And that really kind of wraps it up for now. I am doing some coaching still. I don't have any group programs on the horizon, but doing one-on-one coaching. So please reach out if you're interested in that. Really enjoying it and the people I'm working with right now. And yeah, I do think everyone needs someone, whether you go find somebody else to be your therapist or work with me as a coach. I just want to highly encourage anyone to find someone to work with because I think it's just crucial and essential if you truly want to learn about yourself, grow, and move through some of these layers to unlock your truest, highest, best self. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening, and I'm gonna be back sooner than later and following up with some great guests as well. So thanks again for listening. Share with any friends that you think might be interested in this as well, and I'll be back again soon.